Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. That's where my brothers, we all locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now.
Grab
that's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green. Money over Africans, but we ain't really Africans. Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again. Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man. Just get up on your knees and talk to God, don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn. I'm tired of all my people, see that's niggas with no action plan. And I didn't choose to rap, it just fell into a backup plan. So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah. I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Robux. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
Alright, I rise with the sun. Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. Today is Tuesday, December the 6th of 2016. And the time is 10, a little early today, 10 a.m. Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brother, today, my sister, we'll continue with part two of what we talked about yesterday. We want to pick up talking about how to build the temple. So moving forward, as I talked about on yesterday's show in 2009, I'm only going to be working with temple builders. I'm only going to be working with people who understand the value of building their temple. That means I'm only working with premium clients. That means I'm only working with the 1%. I'm not working with the 99%. Now, I'll still be doing 99% stuff, like today. I'll still be doing my general stuff. Nothing's changing. The only thing that's changing is my intention. So my intention is to make sure that I help 1 out of 10 people bring about not no fluff, not no warm and fuzzy, not no feel-good messages, not no, hey, hang on, brother, your blessing coming, not none of this other shizness, but just make sure that you bring about concrete change. And this concrete change, my brothers, this concrete change, my sisters, is what life is all about. You being able to bring about change. Now, this change takes place by understanding that you are a temple, by understanding what we read yesterday in 2 Corinthians. And again, very, very basic but very important scripture. 1 Corinthians 3:15 says, it is burned up, he will suffer loss, he himself will be saved, but only as one being snatched from the fire. Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells inside of you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy. So you are a temple of God. So now my job is to help you build your temple so that way you can house the Shekinah glory of God. And the way that you do that is doing some transformative work. And the way that you do the transformative work is to understand that you have to change the understanding of the self. You have to change the perception of yourself. You have to change it. And the only way that you can change it is to first realize that you can change it, and the second realize that you do need to change it. So the fact that there's change needed is the problem, and then the fact that you can change it is the problem. See, people think they have to go outside of themselves to change. People think that they need a Reverend Dr. Bishop to change. They need some kind of psychological mumbo-jumbo to change. People do not understand that they are being led and guided by the Ruach of the Pneuma, which is their higher self. So the change that you needed, this transformative work that is taking place right now as we speak inside of your body, is simply you have to be aware that you need change and you can change. Let me say that again. You have to be aware that you can change, and you have to be aware that you need to change. You don't need to change because there is a problem. You need to change because of the fact that there isn't a problem. You need to change because of the fact that you're growing. You need to change because of the fact that God is taking you from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. That's why you're changing. That's why you're building. You are designed to totally return back to source. And when you become so much like God, you return back to God. And so that's where everything starts. Everything starts with that understanding. So if you can wrap your brain around that, then you're halfway there. And what are we wrapping our brain around? Well, simply, brothers and sisters, we're wrapping our brain around this simple idea that is that I am the author and the finisher of my faith, meaning that if there's an issue, if there's a problem that needs to be adjusted with me, I can do that. Now, how? Now, we know what. We know why, so that way we can grow. Now we need to know how. Changes in understanding yourself. So the condition of being you means that you have to understand the meaning of your experiences. Without understanding the meaning of your experience, you are critically unassimilated. You will suffer from what is called disorienting dilemma. So you have life crisis. These are major life transitions. Anytime in psychology this term identity crisis is used, it means that the failure to achieve the ego's expectation. Anytime the ego, not the spirit, has an expectation and the expectation is not met, that's a life crisis for you. Now, nobody else has a crisis but you. You got a major crisis in your life because your ego said, I should be making $100,000 a year, and you made $30,000. So the ego is in crisis. Why? Because of the failure to achieve what the ego has identified as success. So the progress through the developmental stages of life is to identify the areas of experience. If you can identify, again, what you call failure, and if you can find what is called, again, the quality of those experiences, if you can find that silver lining in that dark cloud, that allows you, again, to override that dark cloud. Meaning, when you start to cease and desist and seeing life as bad, seeing yourself as a sinner, seeing yourself as a loser, seeing yourself as a failure, seeing yourself as all of this, when you stop this negative identification, then you find yourself, and then you start to be yourself, and then you start to transform yourself. Then you step outside of the box. But right now, you're in this role confusion. Right now, you have this identity cohesiveness with failure, meaning that you believe that your life experiences up to this point is a failure. You think that looking back over your life experiences that all of those negative events are failures. You don't see them as learning opportunities. And so the ability to identify with life experiences and see that those life experiences are just that. Those are tools. Those are teaching tools. And these experiences that you have in your life are designed to show you you. But you can't see you because you refuse to examine you. But you're going to talk about your neighbor. You talk about your wife. You talk about your girlfriend. You talk about your boyfriend. You talk about the dog, the cat. But you never stop and examine yourself. And if you do, guess how you examine yourself? Negatively. You never look for the positive. I wonder why that is. Why is it that every time you stop and examine, do you know that you never examine yourself when you win the lottery? You never examine yourself when you get the girl. You never examine yourself when you get this great job. You never examine the victories. You only examine the failures. And so, therefore, you bring about more disorienting delusion. This disorientation is the result of examining your life experiences with a negative lens. The number one thing, now there's three things we're discussing today, to build your temple, which is why I'm only working with 1 out of 10 people. I'm going to still talk to everybody. I'm going to still hang out with everybody. I'm going to still do my blog talk shows. Nothing is changing but my intent. What is my intention? My intention is the 9 people that's tuning in and saying, hey, Doc, I'm with you, is going in one ear and out the other. I'm only listening to one person. Why? That's the one person that really wants to change. I'm only working with the people that want to change because everybody else is playing church, but they don't know they playing church. So it's not my job. I got to stop trying to convince people that they playing church because I'm wasting too much time with people that want to play church. So I don't want to play church. I want to change. This time next year, I'll be making $150,000 a year. I'm not just this time by the end of today, I'm gonna have a miracle. By the end of today, I'm gonna have a miracle. By tomorrow, I'm gonna produce another product. By the next day, I'm gonna have another book done. I'm trying to produce, brother. I'm trying to create. I'm trying to grow. I'm trying to bring a transformation. I'm not sitting here talking about next week, today, right now. By the time the show is over. By the time this show is over, I'm expecting a miracle. I am walking around with the spirit of expectation. That's how you build the temple. If you don't hear nothing I say today, get this right now. If I was Tony Robbins and you paid $600, $700, $800, $1,000 to be on this Blog Talk message right now. Now, I want you to put yourself torium with 30,000 people. And the music is playing, dun, 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 dun. Tony Robbins run out on the stage, and he's hooping and hollering, and he's a big dude. He's got, muscles everywhere. And, you're looking at Tony Robbins. Dude, this is Tony Robbins. A dude comes in a helicopter. The dude is off the hizzle for shizzle. So Tony Robbins come in. You've just paid. You took your Christmas bonus. You drove 3 hours. You're sitting there, and Tony Robbins comes out on the stage. What's going through your mind? How are you feeling right now? Are you sleepy? Are you tired? Are you thinking about dinner? Are you wondering if your socks are matching? I don't think so. If you are sitting in an auditorium with 30,000 people who have paid $1,000 each to be in that auditorium, and that's really what it costs to go see Tony Robbins, and you're sitting there, your spirit has this expectation that I better be fed. You are coming with a disposition that says, you better give me something, dude. I just paid $1,000. I just drove all across the country. I got my best suit on. I went out and bought some, $100 cologne, perfume. I got my hair done, my nails done. Oh, you better bring the pain today, dude. Otherwise, we're going to have to talk. So you are coming with a spirit of expectation. Therefore, you will receive. You bring about what you think about. Your spirit is not, it has nothing to do with what I say. This message I'm saying right now means nothing. The only thing that matters is you come with the right intention. Did you call in today with an intention to receive something today? If you did, you already received it. I could come on here and just be air. You'll hang up after an hour of hearing and be like, damn, that was the best message I've heard in my freaking life. Changed my life. Why? It has nothing to do with what you hear. It's all internal. The only thing I'm just a mechanism to get you to see that it's all about you, brother. It's all about you, sister. You determine what you receive based upon what you give. Your giving determines your receiving. So if you give the spirit of expectation, then you receive the thing that you expect. So today, I'm expecting a miracle. What did you wake up expecting today? I don't know about you, brother, but today I'm expecting great things from myself and from everybody I come in contact with. I'm no longer settling for mediocre. Why? I am bringing about a trans-learning environment. I'm a facilitator of transformation. I'm a builder of temples. I'm no longer playing church. So therefore, everybody's playing church, I don't got to do nothing. They just all matter. You know how many people are leaving? All people that used to hang out with me, they're not hanging out with me no more. Why? My intention. Now, they think, hey, man, Brother Will fell off, dog. I don't want to, you know what? I'm going to defriend him on Facebook. You know what? I used to be on stuff. I ain't texting that fool no more. Something, you know, Brother Will, you know, he sounds, you know, they don't even know. They think they made the decision to leave me. I made the decision to leave them. Because why? Everybody that can't stand the heat got to get up out the kitchen. You feel me? Because I just elevated my game. How did I elevate my game? I went into my brain, and I told my brain, it's time for us to step up our game. Why? Because I want to vibrate on a higher level. Now, is the level that I'm vibrating on wrong? No. Is it bad? No. Is the people wrong? No. Are the people bad? No. Do somebody need to make this major change? No. Did somebody piss me off? No. Did I see some demons? No. Did I see a bright light? No. Did Moses appear in my room? No. Is there a burning bush? No. Did I hear an audible voice from God? No. So why the change? Because I want to. It's just that simple. Now, I don't know what you want out of your life, but all I know is, for me, in my house, we're going to vibrate on our highest frequency. So I have determined to examine all of my life experiences, and everything that happened in my life is great. And everybody around me is pissed off. Because my wife said, well, so what you saying, honey? You saying that you know, when you cheated on me last year, that was great? Absolutely. Greatest thing that ever happened in my life. So she gets pissed off. She don't understand what I'm saying. So you could say, hey, you know, let me take, like, you know, me and Brother Zach don't talk no more. So you could say, well, Brother Zach, man, greatest thing that happened in my life. Why? Now, you could take that as a negative statement. But there's a reason why everything is happening, brother. There's a reason why everything is happening, sister. So me and Brother Zach don't talk no more because I'm vibrating on a higher frequency. Now, does that mean that Brother Zach is not vibrating on a higher frequency? No. That means Brother Zach is vibrating. Brother Zach is doing his thing. Brother Zach is blowing up. Brother Zach is doing exactly what God has told him to do. Brother Rome is doing what God told him. Brother Dana, Sister Tammy, Sister Ellen, everybody is oscillating and vibrating in that space. There's only good in the world. So I don't see no negative. So you could take this, you could go back and you could tell, hey, Brother Zach, Brother Will was talking about you on the show today. That's negative. You started mess. Because to me, I got mad respect for Brother Zach. Why? Brother Zach is doing what Brother Zach believes is right. That's the same thing you should be doing. You should be doing the thing that you think is right, because that's what I'm doing. So I love Brother Zach. I love Sister Tammy. I love Brother Rome. I love Sister Seda. I love Sister Ella. I love Sister Stacy. I love everybody, Sister Asia, Brother CJ, but then everybody that has anything to do with me, past, present, and future. Why? Because the glass is half full. I'm an eternal optimist. Therefore, I'm sending out optimism. I'm getting back optimism. I don't see, there's no negative reason. There's nothing negative. Nothing has happened negatively. There is no negative. There's only positive. So my perspective has changed. And I changed it because now I understand my experiences. And this understanding of my experience brought about step two. What is step two? A convictional transformation. So I did step one. I said, you know what? Things are happening in my life, and the devil's telling me I should feel bad. I made a mistake, and I went out, and, I left, and I shouldn't have did this. And everybody tell me, dude, you are a sinner. You're an adulterer. Go stand in the corner. Put your nose in the wall. Man, you can kiss my black beep. Oh, sorry about that, folks. I was off the wagon there for a minute. What am I saying, brothers and sisters? Now, y'all can fall for that shizness if you want. There's always something wrong with your behavior. There's always something wrong with what you're doing. The way you walk, the way you look, somebody ain't going to like you. I'm sorry, that's just the way the world that we live in. Everybody is not going to be in your Kool-Aid. Everybody ain't going to sip your tea. And so you better sip your own tea. You got to see your life experiences as just that. God sends things in my life to teach me. And every lesson is a great one. But Brother Will, what if they come and repossess your car? Man, that means I'm getting a new one. Do you understand? But Brother Will, what if they come in and they tell you, man, that you got this incurable disease? Man, that means I'm going to be the first dude to defeat this disease that everybody else say can't be defeated. Because guess what? I'm going to overcome it. And so that mentality brings about a convictional change in my belief system. Now I believe that if I get cancer, there's a cure. Strangest things to slice bread. Now, how do I have that conviction? Well, I personally know Dr. Sabe. Talked to him on the phone. He cured cancer. I know this dude named Max Gershom. I met his wife when I was stationed in San Diego. They have this whole compound called the Gershom Institute. You can go to Google and you can Google it. Cancer for the last 30 years. Now, there's some fools. I just watched a commercial last night where they raising money to try to find the cure for cancer. Now, I'm not the brightest bird in the pack. Again, nor am I the sharpest tool in the shed. But I ain't giving no fool no Red Cross, Blue Cross, Purple Cross, or I ain't wearing no damn purple no shirts because there's already a cure for cancer. Now, let me calm down. If you ain't willing to open your eyes and change your perspective and basically call the people who are curing cancer, hey, that's on you. My perspective is transformative. I transform where everybody else gets pigeonholed. So everybody else, they reach a glass ceiling, they can't go no higher. They can only make $10 an hour. That's it. Because they're black, or they're short, or they're fat, or they're skinny, or they don't got a degree, or their mama dropped them on their head when they was little. Whatever excuse or reason that you got, you can't go past that glass ceiling. That's you, brother. Your BS belief system, bullshitness, don't affect me because I got conviction. How did I get my conviction? From understanding my experience. So now that I understand in my life experiences, they are all positive. There is no negative. There is no devils and demons. I've already whooped them all. I got all them suckers tied up in the basement. They have no power over me. So when I walk through the shadow of valley, when I walk through the valley of the shadow and death, guess what happens? The strangest things just slice bread. I fear no evil. And then something else happens. I realize that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And then I realize that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. All who rise up against me shall fall. Then I realize that I've been young. Now I am old. Yes, brothers and sisters, I know, but the world is old. Now I am old. And guess what? I've never, ever seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. What? So you mean to tell me this thing called the Helios Biblios, the scriptures are true? Yes. Now, how did I come to that determination? My life experiences. So now I am the facilitator of consciousness that directs the process of regaining my own biological system. So my environment, I was born, let's say I was born with the predisposition for alcohol, which I was. Now everybody in my family, all the men on my father's side are alcoholics. Now my sons, them suckers, they say they ain't alcoholic, but they drink alcohol every day. So on my definition, they alcoholics. Now they're gonna tell you, not our dad, we just like stuff. We like a little sauce. Okay, that's good. So how come everybody in my family is alcoholic but me? How come everybody in my family got high blood pressures but me? How come everybody in my family got, you know, freaking cholesterol problems with me? How come everybody in my family got this, that, and the other cause of me, you know, but I don't? It's called transformative expansion of your consciousness, a.k.a. quantum consciousness, a.k.a. off-the-globe thinking, a.k.a. I'm getting off the plant, off the plantation. I'm not a house Negro. I'm not a field Negro. I'm not even on the damn plantation. I don't know if you can wrap your brain around what I'm saying. I'm saying that everybody got problems. I don't. Now, you are saying, Brother Will, I don't know, dude. That's a bold statement. Brothers and sisters, your reality is the result of your mentality. You bring about what you think about. The way that you build your temple, the way that you change your temple is number one. I've been talking about 30 minutes for number one. What was number one? Remember? You got to change your perspective of your experiences. Not the future. Not the present. But the past. Now, I'm going to tell you something that is very, very dangerous to your theology. I want you to go and rewrite history. Now, brothers and sisters, don't tell nobody I told you this because they might think you're a little cuckoo. They gonna then. Please don't tell them. Well, Brother Will told me. Don't tell nobody I told you this. This is what I did. Worked for me. So my life growing up as a kid, y'all hear me talk about all this bad stuff. So I went back into my childhood and I rewrote it. And I changed my childhood. So I went back into my childhood and I remembered all the times when Sister X wasn't there. And I remember my mama would let us go in the kitchen. She'd say, man, y'all, we used to get that, you know, we had those government cheese and the government, y'all don't know nothing about that powdered cheese. I mean, that powdered eggs and the government cheese. Y'all young folks don't know nothing about that kind of stuff. Y'all, I'm saying, y'all are well-to-do, you know, uppity folk. But, you know, we grew up on the government stuff. You know what I'm saying? And so my mama was going to say, hey, y'all going to knock yourself out. Man, I said, man, ooh, man, y'all really ate Spam and cheese with some eggs? Man, Spam is like a poor man's steak. Y'all don't know about no Spam. And then some green bologna, you know that bologna that's a little old that turned green? Man, used to fry that bologna, man, throw some cheese on it. Man, you better ask somebody. That's good eating right there. All of the stuff, I went back in my childhood and I rewrote it. All of the beatings, all the starving, all the sleep deprivation, all the negative stuff, I went back and I said, you know what, that made me. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be able to fast today. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be able to stop eating sugar, cold turkey. I just stop eating anytime I want. People say, dude, how you do that? I just stop. But what do you mean you just stop? Don't you have, yeah, but every time I get a craving or, you know, every time I get an urge, I go work out. So every time I want to eat, I go work out. And the chemicals that is released in my body when I work out are the same chemicals that are released when I eat. Go figure. So the entheogens, now this is scientifically proven. I have all this inside of my book, Frequent Intense Training, which I know y'all read, right? So every time I want to eat, I put my clothes on and I go to the gym. Now if I can't go to the gym, I put my clothes on, I walk outside my front door, and I jog around the block. Or I run sprints in my neighborhood. My neighbors be looking outside the window. I know they be looking at me like, this fool is on some serious shizness. Because I'll do that 3 or 4 times a day. So every time I get ready to eat something, I go and exercise. Why? To trick my body, because I'm releasing the endorphins that I would get. I'm getting that emotional high that I would normally get from eating a Krispy Kreme donut, but I'm burning calories now. So I trick my body into receiving those internal endorphins instead of the external endorphin. I don't know if you understand what I just said. That is the key to life, is to take what you're getting from the outside and replace it with what you already got on the inside. That is how you become a single standing column of waveform energy, not needing outside assistance. That's love. But you see, we're not there yet. So I went back and I rewrote my childhood, so now I have a good childhood. So I went back and I rewrote and I examined every negative experience in my life, that when I did something and people say, "Brother Will, put your hand out, pow, 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 bad boy, go to the corner, you cheated on your wife." No, I went out and had an experience with another female. Say, well, that's adultery. Now that's adultery for you. It's not adultery for me. Now, am I stupid? No. I understand that hurt other people. I'm not saying that you go out and live your life hurting other people. I'm just saying that the dominant culture has established that cheating on a woman when you're married is bad. But I read in the Hebrews Biblios that God granted, or he allowed us. He said it's better to marry than to burn. But God also said there is no giving or receiving in marriage in heaven. So what is marriage? Now, one day, not yet, one day I'm going to break that down for you. I don't think y'all are ready for that blessing or that class yet. There's going to be a lot of disappointed people that are inside that made major decisions because of a woman or a man. And unfortunately, wasted a lot of time in your life. Because in the spirit realm, there is no giving or receiving in marriage. So why y'all doing it down here? Well, God allowed it because he said it was better to marry than to burn. In other words, instead of you walking around being a domesticated demon, which I'm going to do a series on that pretty soon. See, everybody got domesticated demons. You know what a domesticated demon is? That's that little pet demon that you got, that you keep around you because he empowers you. Now, that's another study for another time. But the most important thing is these three steps that I just shared. One more time. Number one, go back through every experience in your life that you said was bad. Find the good. Understand your experiences. Those are your learning. That's your lesson. You did not learn the lesson. So you're going to repeat it, or you can go back and retake the test based upon the experiences of the past. That's what I did. That speeds up the process. Because when you go back and you look at your past and you look at it in a different perspective, because you ain't a kid no more. See, I'm not a little kid anymore. I'm a grown-ass man now. So I can look at my life, my childhood experiences, and realize it wasn't my fault. Realize that my mom did the best that she could. I can realize that my father didn't tell me that he loved me, not because he didn't love me or because he didn't like me, because his daddy tied him to a tree and beat him with a wet rope. So, yeah, that might bring about some psychological effects on my father that would make him a little skittish about having fun and what to do with him when they do show up. So now I forgave my father. Now I love my father. Now I think my father is the greatest father on earth. He ain't done shiznit because he didn't have to. He brought me into his planet, into the planet. That's enough for me. So now all of my life experiences are good. So what did that do? Now that I've changed my perspective on my experiences, now I've rewrote my belief system. Now my convictions are different. Now I'm not angry at my father. So when I go to Houston and I see my dad look at me and he's like, "Negro, are you all right?" Because I walk up to him and I say, "Hey, Dad, give me that," and I hug him. Me and my dad don't hug. We just kind of look at each other. And, you know, he don't know what to say, and I didn't know what to say. Now I go down and say, "Yo, what's up, Pops?" I say, "Pops, who the Pops?" I say, "You, short black man, you Pops." See, he old now, so he can't do nothing, so I ain't scared of him no more. So I hug him. I go down there and give him money, and my dad think I fell off the wagon. Say, "I don't know, I just treat that boy." Now he tells my sister calls me, and my sister calls, you know, me and my sister take care of him. And my sister said that my dad was like, "Yeah, Willie, I don't know what's wrong with that boy. I treated him the worst out of all y'all." This fool sending me money, buying this. I love my dad. Why? I went back into my childhood. I saw that my dad did the best that he could, and I changed my perspective, and I got rid of all this damn hate. I ain't got time to hate nobody, man. I'm too busy loving folks. And that brought about a conviction, and that gave me authority. That gave me power, dunamis power, the power to override snakes and scorpions and all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by no means harm me. So since I went back and I changed my perspective of how I see my life events, it changed my conviction. It changed my belief system. And my belief system now is changing my behavior. Do you see the three-step process? I pray to God. I pray to God. I pray to the Father of fathers. I pray to the God of gods. I pray to the Lord of lords that you get this three-step process in your spirit. Because if you do, you're going to build your temple. You're going to become a single standing column of waveform energy. You're going to walk out into the world, and they're going to see you, and they're like, hey, is that Sister Stacy? Yeah, that white chick who walk around and thinks she's black. Isn't that what? And Sister Stacy going to be shining and vibrating so awesome off the hizzle for shizzle, people ain't going to even recognize you no more, sis. You're going to be dropping some knowledge that's going to shatter people's brains. And they're going to be like, man, what happened to did the girl go to Harvard or something? No. Sister Stacy decided to be Sister Stacy. She was born intelligent and the ability to drop gnosis. Now you just got to believe it with enough conviction to bring about your behavior to say it. Sister Tammy, same thing. Powerful, most powerful sister on the planet. There's no way in the world there ain't a demon in hell that can hold a candle to you, sis. It's time for you to stop playing small. You settling, and you're allowing people to keep you in the boxes that are people around you when you outshining them, but you don't want to outshine everybody. It's time for you to outshine people, sis. It's not that you're trying to make people look bad. It's just that you look good. So it's time for you to be who you really are and stop walking around making, you know, excuses for who God designed and gifted you to be. Be. Do. Have. And how do you do that? You have to look at everything. I want you to think the most heinous crime that you've ever done in your life. Think about it. Whatever it is, what is it? What is the worst thing that you did? Go and pull it out the closet. Look at it. It's bad. I mean, oh, man, you did this. Yes, you, oh, man, you did it. But look at it. Look at it. And look at it with the consciousness and the ability to access and look at the symbolic contents. Now, what do I mean by the symbolic contents? What I want you to understand is the meaning of the experience. This is crucial for your ability to assimilate and to become an authority figure that doesn't apologize for being the authority. You must learn. It's not an option. You must learn to make your own interpretations rather than accept the interpretation, the belief, the judgment, and the feelings of others. You must. Learn to accept your own interpretation. I choose to interpret my negativity as positivity. It violates everybody else's interpretation, but it fits my interpretation. It allows me to get rid of this disorienting, delusional thinking that triggers life crisis. Your life crisis or events that have happened in your life brought about a major transition. One, somebody died. Somebody got married. Somebody got divorced. Somebody had a baby. Somebody lost their car, got repoed. Somebody bought a car. Somebody got a job paying $100,000. Somebody lost a job paying $100,000. These life events are life crises. They produce disorienting effects if they're not interpreted correctly. And it is the accumulation of these events that bring about the paralysis of analysis. And what happened to you is you are now pigeonholed. Sister Tammy, you're pigeonholed. You're stuck. Sister Tammy, you got to get unstuck. How do you get unstuck? The life crisis, I don't know what dramatic events that happened that promoted the inability to you to transform, to continue to grow. It made you disoriented for a little bit. It's like you got hit by a stun gun. Because these life crises, they came back to back to back to back to back. And you didn't have time to sit down and examine them because you had to deal with the real world. You had to take care of your son. You had to go to college. You had to get a job. You had to take care of your, you know, help your mother and your father. You have friends and family. You have to juggle all of this stuff. Brother Rome, same thing. Sister Stacy, Sister Ella, we all got overwhelmed by the crises of life, and we all became disoriented. That produced, because we wasn't able to examine all of these events that was happening, and we are suffering from the paralysis of analysis because we didn't have the time to process, because we had to do something, that is live. We got to pay bills. See, the bills don't stop coming in when somebody dies. The bills don't stop when you lose your car. The bills don't stop when you go to the doctor and they give you some, you know, terminal disease. Life doesn't stop just because bad shit has happened to you. In fact, it moves faster. And if you don't have the ability to process and understand these life crises, they pigeonhole you. You become stagnant. You become disoriented. Because everything is happening too fast. You got all this stuff, so you just put it on the shelf. You say, I'm going to deal with that later. But later never comes. My mama died. I was too young to understand it. So I put it on the shelf. And I said, I'll deal with that later. And then I went to Richmond. My dad rejected me. I'll deal with that later. And then I was 14 years old, came home. You know, my girl sleep with my best friend. I'll deal with that later. Then I got caught, got busted, man. I went to jail, and I went to school. They called me jailbirds, man, all this stuff. And I deal with that later. And then all this stuff happening in my life, these life crises, these life events, and I said, man, I deal with it later. 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 And later never came. And when it was time for me now, I'm a man, and it was time for me to move forward, all this old shit that happened that I never dealt with, I got all of this feelings that pop up when the most inopportune time. Now, I got a wife that loves me. I don't trust her. Because when I was little, I had this chick that I loved, and she stabbed me in the back with my best friend. That means I can't trust no females. Well, I'm not a little kid no more. So I can go back, and I can examine that experience, and I can get the truth of that experience, and I can come back. Now I can trust my wife. And I can trust females, because now I realize not all females are like that one. And so that brings about, by going back and understanding my life experiences and examining every experience that is negative. Please, brothers and sisters, you got to do this. You got to go back and just take some time today and just sit and think of the most heinous crime you've ever did in your life. Make it good. Make it good. Find the good in it. I don't care if you got the sugar sword. This is your story, dog. You the director. You the star of your own show. Make it a good movie. Make it a show worth watching. Why you want to make a melodrama? Why you want to make a Lifetime movie out of your own life? Man, mine is going to be an HBO special. You understand? Man, mine is going to be a big feature film. It's going to be a Hollywood blockbuster. I'm not going to make no Lifetime movie. I don't want no tearjerker. And the end of my movie, guess what? The guy, he gets the girl. And he gets the money. And he gets the house. And he gets the body. He gets everything. He don't lose. That's how I'm writing my script. I don't know about you. I don't know what movie you're writing for your life, but I'm writing the movie. I'm rewriting the script. So that way, when I rewrite the script, it brings about a conviction. This conviction results in a belief system. This belief system results in a behavioral system. This behavioral system results in life changes. And so, therefore, now my biology, which is understanding my past, controls my electricity, which is my belief system, which manifests in my chemistry, which is my behavior. That three-step process of examining your life, and I don't care how you have to rewrite it, flip the script. Flip the script so that way you see positivity. After you see all, everything, my life is positive. I had no negative experiences. Everything was a mountaintop experience. Even the valleys was a mountaintop experience. Even the negative was a good, I learned something. So I'm going to take what I learned, and that learning, that process of learning, the process of seeing that something good can be or can come out of something that was meant. God can take what the devil meant for evil, and he can turn it around, and he can use it for my good. So I'm going to take that, and I'm going to revisit my belief system, and now I revisit my belief system. And guess what? When I went to church and they said, you are a low-down, dirty sinner, and that is for you. That's not for me. Well, Brother Will, I don't know about everybody's a sinner, not me. See, my Bible says that, you know, God has removed my sin from me as far as the east is from the west. So, see, I've been redeemed. I went in, and that sinner, yeah, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So now I am possessed voluntarily. I laid down my life. Come on in, Yahushua. You can possess. So I am domestically possessed by the spirit of Yahushua. Now, I don't know what demons you got, what spirits you got, but if I'm going to be possessed, if I'm a host, if I got to be possessed by some entity, I'm going to choose the entity. If I'm going to be driven, I'm going to choose who's driving the car. Now, for other folks, I know that y'all may not understand what that means. You know, you just say, something just came over me. No, nothing ain't coming over me, homie. It ain't coming over me unless I want it to. So I get to choose. And this is my story. I get to write the script. I'm the director. I'm the author. I'm the finisher. So in my movie, yeah, I choose the entities that hang out in this house. And so I'll clean out this house. Now there's seven more that's worse than the seven that left that want to come in. But they're not coming in. Because guess what? The strong man is in the house. So now my behavior is not controlled by no grape. My behavior is not controlled by naked women. My behavior is not controlled by the Reverend Dr. Bishop. So now my behavior is not controlled by my children. My children can call me right now and say, Dad, I'm in jail. Well, brother, good luck with that. Now you call my son, he'll tell you, this is how it happened. My son has called me and said, Dad, I'm in jail. Know what I told him? You call your mama. You think I'm going to go to pick him up? Now, I raised my son. He is not no fool. So if he done something to end up in jail, you know, hey, assalamu alaikum. God bless him. Now, for some people, that sounds a little harsh. But I just can't do stupid. I'm sorry. None of my children are stupid. I spent a lot of time, invested a lot of my energy. So they know. My daughter's up in Dallas, got her own business. She's doing great. Why? She listened to what I said, and she applied it. Because it works in my life. They saw what I did growing up. They know. So I'm not going to play with them. No. They got to know what they know what they're supposed to be doing. So they got to know what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm sharing this with you. All I'm simply saying is that you are the author and the finisher of your faith. This is your life. This is the only one you got, as far as I know. Now, they say you come back. I don't know nothing about that. All I know is, as far as I know, this is the only one I got. So I'm going to live it like this is the only one I got. I wasted enough time already. So as of 2017, I'm telling y'all now, I'm a different dude. You won't find me begging y'all to call me for no one-on-ones. You don't find me sending you no messages over and over. You want the message? Go to Blog Talk and download it yourself. You're not going to find me coddling. You ain't going to find me begging and holding. No, I'm only going to work with people who want to change. If you're not one of those people who want to change, I can love you from afar. Okay? Catch me on Facebook. Do not have time any longer to play church. My days of playing church are over. Now, it's going to come across a little harsh. I understand. It's going to take people a little while to get used to the new Brother Will. But Brother Will is on the fast track program now. Watch where I'm at the end of today. I will contact you and let you know what my blessing was today. I don't know what it is. I just know something's going to happen today and tomorrow and the next day. Now, even when something bad happens, I'm going to let you know. Because even when something bad has happened, I'm going to spin it. so that it's good. Like I just said, brothers and sisters, it is your job to make sure that you are actually living your life. It is time for you to make some dramatic improvement and have a dramatic impact on yourself and others. Dramatic. We are not growing. And it's partly my fault because I've been comfortable with hanging out with sheep. And I've been comfortable with being a sheep. Because, again, I cannot see nothing in nobody else that doesn't first exist within inside of myself. Now, this is huge, very important. Because now that I have changed, that allows you to change. This simple change is so mind-blowing that if you can wrap your brain around it, the temple I am going to build will be great because our God is greater than all the other gods. Let me close with 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, 5, and 6. Very important. Behold, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 2. 2 Chronicles, Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 4. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 4. Behold, I am about to build a house for the name of the Lord, my God, dedicating it to him to burn fragrant incense before him and to set out the showbread continually and to offer burnt offerings morning and evening on Sabbaths and on new moons. Now, you guys remember when I was talked about on yesterday's show dealing with the CSF fluid? And I was telling you what happens on the new moon on that day. You must refrain from overeating, overdrinking, and having sex in order to build the temple that brings about a dramatic change in the way that you see the events in your life. It brings about a dramatic change in the conviction of your beliefs. And it brings about a dramatic change in the behavior in the body. This dramatic change is the result of your temple, your body. Your body is the temple of God. So 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5 tells me, as I continue reading, on new moons and on the appointed feast of the Lord our God, this being required ever in Israel. Israel. You are Israel. Verse 5. The house which I am about to build. Notice who's building the house, brother. T.D. Jakes building the house. Creflo Dollar building the house. Eddie Long building the house. No. You building the house, brother. You building the house, sister. Notice who is building the house. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. 2 Chronicles. Keep saying Corinthians. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 5. The house which I am about to build. Now, I don't know about y'all. I started building mine. Please, take this three-step process and start building your house, brothers. The house which I'm about to build will be great. There's no doubt about it. I don't know about you, Sister Tammy. But the house I'm getting ready to build, Sister Tammy, is about to be great. I believe you're about to build a great house too, sis. The house which I am about to build will be great, for greater is our God than all of the other gods. Now, I know you got these Reverend Dr. Bliss bishops who walk around talking this craziness, talking about there is no other God because they didn't read Judges chapter 6, verse 10, Judges chapter 10, verse 6. But all these little G's, there was a big G. I hang out with the big G. And I'm building a house that's going to contain the Shekinah glory of the big G. Verse 6. Second Chronicles, chapter 2, verse 6. But who is able to build a house for him? For the heavens and the highest heavens cannot contain him. For who am I that I should build a house for him except to burn incense before him? Now, I'm building a house, but I know that my house, no matter how big I build it, can't contain God, not the big G. So God wishes to do exceedingly abundantly above. So no matter what your problem is, brother, no matter how bad your life has been, no matter what you've done, God is bigger than your problems. So God can transmute what the enemy meant for evil into good. So I'm going to build a house, even though I know it's going to be too small, but I want to build. I want to use my imagination. I want to build the biggest, baddest house. But that's okay. I'm still going to burn incense inside that house anyway to attract or to draw the Ruach or the Pneuma of God. Brothers and sisters, again, the three things that you got to do starting yesterday. Number one, every life experience that you have ever had in your life that is negative, you have to go back and change it into a positive. When you change that experience into a positive, that act of changing that spirit brings about a conviction. It brings about a feeling, a strong feeling. This strong feeling changes your interpretation. It changes your purpose. It changes your beliefs. Changes your judgments. It changes your emotions. Now, because your life is positive, your beliefs are positive, and your unconscious and conscious brain starts to vibrate on positive. That change of your past, of your present, and of your future is so positive that it brings about a revision in your belief system. Now your beliefs are positive. Since your past, since your present, and your future are all going to be positive because you have chosen to make it positive, now your vibe, your belief, your convictions are positive. Since your vibe, your belief, and your convictions are positive, now your behavior is positive. So the changes in your life, the things that you are doing, the places that you are going, the people you're hanging out with are positive. Because now, past, your present, and your future is positive. Now, your fears are gone, and your beliefs and your faith is positive. Now I'm walking with a spirit of expectation. And so now my actions are actions of I'm expecting greatness to happen today. So that three-step process, my brothers and sisters, is how you build your temple, how you bring about the transformation. On the next series that come up, we're going to talk more about temple building. But I wanted to lay down the foundation today, because I was just too excited. I couldn't contain it. I was trying to wait till I finished up this listening series. But, man, I'm so happy. Like I said, I'm giving it a hang up, and I'm giving it up. I'll let y'all know. I post it on Facebook. My blessing. I don't know where it's coming, when it's coming, but I know it's coming. And I know one is coming for you. Brothers and sisters, be, but make it a great one. Why? Because the temple I am going to build will be great. Because my God is greater than all the other gods. My brothers, my sisters, this is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. May Yahuwah, may his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. It's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly avert to bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase these. give it to him for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the park. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actio. You going us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1-2-1-2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. A 1-2-1-2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. You just, it's just I see.
Still dreaming, man. Still dreaming.